I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. It's brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Laurie. All right. Let's bring in Greg Tilka. All right, because Greg is a nematologist at Iowa State University and a leader of the Soybean Cyst Nematode Coalition, joins us right now. Greg, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Greg, I'll admit, in a year like this, when we are thinking about so many other issues with the corn crop, with the soybean crop, that the hidden problems that we sometimes deal with, they get forgotten. And dealing with managing the soybean cyst nematode, SCN, I got a feeling that it's a lower priority for some producers this year than what it should be, because it's always got to be one of those things that you're checking the box on and making sure that you're taking note and managing it as aggressively as you can, right?
Well, you're exactly right. And I don't disagree with the fact that there's more pressing concerns that crop farmers have this season. But the SCN Coalition and myself, we just want folks to remember that SCN is a major concern. It's very widespread across the whole soybean producing region of the U.S. And it survives extremely well. A common question I've gotten these days is, will all this torrential rains and flooding drown soybean cyst nematode? And unfortunately, it won't. The researchers have done experiments and have had soybean cyst nematode in standing water for hundreds of days, and the nematodes have a crazy ability to survive in those conditions. They absorb oxygen through their body wall or their cuticle, and water typically has oxygen dissolved in it. So unfortunately, all this water isn't going to decrease the nematode. And looking forward to next year, we've got to have farmers keep in mind they got to manage it moving forward.
Yeah. Greg, the other thing is, with all the heavy rains that we've had at times, and I mean, I'm talking about from Nebraska to Ohio, Minnesota, down to Arkansas this year, with all those heavy rains, we're moving dirt around the fields because of all the running water, right? Are we moving, are we moving nematodes?
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And so not only is there bad news in that all the water is not drowning the nematode, but all the water is moving soil with the nematode. And so that really underscores one of the main points of the SCN Coalition is farmers need to sample their fields to get a reality check on where they're at in terms of SCN and the numbers. And to make it less of a daunting task, I think farmers could just concentrate on fields that they plan to grow soybeans in 2020. But they really should collect good soil samples and send them to their state laboratories. And the SCN has a coalition, the SCN Coalition has a website that lists those facilities as well.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do is be surprised in the fall of 2020 when you're looking at the yield monitors and go back and discover that SCN was something that that took a bite out of your yields. So what about we at the start of the show, we were talking about the slow development of the bean crop this year. Does that have any impact on SCN populations?
Well, it does. And that's the one little glimmer of a silver lining in all these storm clouds is that the soybean cyst nematode needs growing soybean roots to reproduce. And the hotter and drier the soil, the quicker the nematode reproduces. And so I'm guessing we're probably going to have at least one fewer turn of the life cycle or one fewer generation of SCN in soybean fields this current season because of the late planting and the wet soils. And so that means less of an increase in SCN numbers. So there's a little bit of positive news in all of this.
How many generations are there typically in a growing season?
Well, you know, it depends on the location. I would say up in North Dakota, probably 3 or 4, depending on the spring. In Iowa, where I'm at, probably 3 or 4 to 5 or 6. And then when you get farther south, it could be 6 or 7.
Wow.
Once the soils warm up, it's pretty much every 28 to 30 days, there's a new generation of SCN.
Good grief. Good grief. Yeah.
It's not a death sentence. We just need farmers to realize it, sample, and manage it. And last thing I'd like to mention is the coalition's website, where there's a ton of specific, state-specific info farmers can turn to. And the website is thescncoalition.com. So no spaces, thescncoalition.com.
Got it. All right. Greg, help me as I'm driving down the road. What am I looking for in soybean fields in a year like this to identify where there might be some SCN populations?
Well, that's a great question. And I'm going to give you an answer that sounds like a smart aleck answer, but it's the truth. And that would be you're looking for soybeans. One of the insidious things about soybean cyst nematode is the tops of the plants don't look sick very often. Even though yield loss is occurring, the plants could look perfectly healthy. And so that's another reason why we need farmers to sample, because you just don't know where it is based on what you see with your eyes above ground. So that's a great question.
Bummer.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was easy to find the little buggers so that we could go out and get them. But no, you got to go out and test your soils and put in the extra work that way. Greg, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good talking to you today. Thank you.
You bet. That is Greg Tilke, nematologist at Iowa State University and a leader of the Soybean Cyst Nematode Coalition. All right, thanks for listening today. Thank you to Kyle and to Steve for tweeting in some questions while we were talking with Ken Ferry. Thanks to Ken. And thanks to Sonia Begman as well. Thanks to Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk, talking about the outlook for milk prices at the start of the show. Come back this afternoon, like I mentioned at the bottom of the hour, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and senior market analyst Jeff Wilson, and I will be talking about what's moving prices, and we'll get you ready for Thursday's supply and demand report. And tomorrow morning, this will be a good one. It's a farmer forum. We've got Vic from Iowa and Don from Indiana right here on AgriTalk.